Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Chelsea Echo. Welcome to your preview of Chelsea versus West Ham in the penultimate home game of the season. That's right. I use big words when I choose to. We've got another guest this week. Before we go into the usual bits of housekeeping, we are joined by the wonderful kit collector who apparently looks like me, according to our editor, who said it looks like if this was on video, you'd just be sat next to each other in the same house. We're not the same person. It is Jay Tomlins. Jay, how you doing, mate? You all right?
Yeah, I feel like we're just like different versions of the same iPhone kind of thing.
Yeah. It's like people like, do you want a guy with brown hair, glasses and a beard? Oh, they're the same person.
It happens so much. But I'm good, thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.
Mate, it's good to have you on. Finally, to have a catch-up and chat a bit of Chelsea.
Yeah, man.
And of course, we are joined by the stat shagger king, who didn't shag the stats. I was wondering, he might have stat shagged them for the preview. Who knows? For the Spurs game, it is Tomas Masters. How are we doing?
Yes, very, very good, mate. That was a big win last night. I enjoyed it. Well, I enjoyed the first 75 minutes of it. Then I had to go and play football. Lost 10-5 in the pissing rain, but you know, you can't win everything.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, look, you know, that's like part of life, mate. Game is the game, as some say. But we do have to talk about Tottenham Hotspur. It's happened again. It's happened again. It's the history of the Tottenham. I see that as we record this, I believe Jay's wearing the top that Juventus played in when they beat Tottenham, and the infamous Giorgio Chiellini quote did come out. Lads, oh my goodness gracious me. Where do we start? It was just a thoroughly professional performance, wasn't it, Jay?
Yeah, man. I couldn't quite believe how professional with how we've been all season. We actually looked like a competent, good team out of nowhere. But that's just, I guess that was Tottenham flattering us a little bit. It was such a good time. I missed the first half, actually, because I was playing football. So like the reverse of you, Tom. So I got on my phone straight after the game and saw it was 1-0 up. And I was like, oh, my God. It's happening easy second half, and I don't know if I was that worried post the one goal, you know, because I didn't feel like we had to worry.
It's interesting because every Spurs fan I spoke to was just going, yeah, we're not going to win. But I'd be sitting there going, why on earth would you think that? Because like you said, this season's been so topsy-turvy. We've not really pulled together a string of form, but you could argue that the Aston Villa second half into the Spurs game, we actually had some semblance of form, didn't we, Tom?
Yeah, and I mean, he's gone back to the pre-season formation, which we saw, and then he panicked because Nkunku got injured, and now he's gone back to it, and oh, look, it works. Almost like having a plan and, you know, doing something rather than just play football. Seems to work. I don't know what that was, but it was Poch. Yeah, it was fun. That was a really good win. Again, like proper, like you said, professional, competent. Was never really that worried. Like after a properly good header from Chalobah, they never really, like, I don't know, maybe I'm missing some moments from them, but they never really looked like they were going to score. And to think, like, you know, that Jackson one where Van der Ven clears it off the line, that's a fairly big chance. I don't blame Jackson. He did well, but Van der Ven's just ridiculously quick. I thought Mudryk looked quite sharp, which was quite fun. He still has no end product, but I believe that can come. Maybe I'm too naive there, I don't know. I thought, again, Madueke, like, I don't know. I think there's a player there, and I think he's starting to show it. Very slowly, but I think it's there. I don't know. It's positive. It's a positive win, and obviously positive after Villa as well. And as we'll talk about a bit later on, the four games we have now to end the season, I think there's no reason we can't win them all and really hit sixth and pick off Newcastle and United now.
Which would be amazing, considering that they're both playing each other, I believe, this weekend. I think it's this match weekend that they face off. So it'd be interesting to see if we can get the result against West Ham, because, look, I'm a natural pessimist. It's a case of sometimes things are too good to be true. And I feel like that win at Spurs, despite unifying everybody, in the back of my head, I've still got this, yeah, but West Ham are going to turn up. They're going to be Barcelona. You can have like every single one of their players turning into Xavi and Iniesta and anybody else in between. Bloody Boyan when he came onto the scene, who knows? But, you know, outside of that, we have to just hope, I guess. But you've obviously mentioned Chalobah and Gallagher there, Tom. You think that after that performance, it must be gut-wrenching to think that these two lads are going to be sold potentially for pure profit to cover up mistakes. I mean, it's insane, isn't it, Jay?
It's so infuriating, isn't it? It's we as fans and those two boys are paying for someone else's consequences, for the ownership's consequences of spending too much. It's literally like, you know, it's their fault. All they've done the whole season is play as best as they can. They've both shown up on numerous occasions. You know, even Gallagher stepping up as a captain for most of the season. And all for nothing, because they have to sell him, because they're in a situation where if they don't, we will break the rules. It's just, it's so infuriating. Like, and you know, the banner yesterday for Gallagher was just, it was a glorious thing to see. And hopefully it's a message to them to figure it out. Sell some more hotels to yourselves, boys, because we can't be selling these great players, man. And they are Chelsea, and Chalobah too. And he was a beast yesterday. Like, we've been struggling with defenders all season, but we've got this gem who's solid at the back. Yeah, it's beyond me.
I think for me, it's the fact that, look, they're not world beaters.
Mm.
I think that's fair to say. I don't think they're going to be the players which you'd look at in a Champions League winning 11, touch wood, should it happen, and they're still here, right? And go, oh, these were the players which really went on and did it for us. But they're going to be the players that you remember because they consistently performed every single week. I think in terms of Chelsea players in that position, Aspilicueta is a fantastic example of that. Like, he's remembered because he performed so consistently for such a long period. And having those players in the squad and around a team is so important. And these lads, like you said, I think it's the way they play, they're those steady Eddies. But I always like to use the FA four corner model when I look at players, right? It's pretty basic, but it kind of gives you everything you need to know. And two of those corners are psychological and social, right? Psychologically, you mentioned Conor Gallagher wearing the captain's armband, picking it up, pushing people forward. He's done that this season. Trevor Chalobah has been clipped when he's been playing, when the huddles have been going on. He's been the one chatting. He's been the one pushing people forward. And then socially, they're two players who, if you keep them about, they will instill into every single one of those players in that squad what it means to be part of the club. And people might think, oh, that's not that important. You know, you need to learn about that. It is important. Because that's what John Terry did. That's what Frank Lampard did. Jody Morris might not have been a key player when he was at Chelsea in terms of playing personnel, realistically, towards the back end of his tenure. But he was somebody who instilled what it meant to play for the club. There isn't really many faces in that squad that understand that, I feel. And these two are shining lights and shining examples of that outside Ben Chilwell and Reece James, really, for me. I think it's probably those four. And it's such a key group. So hopefully we can learn from those mistakes, because I look at some of the signings we made, and if we're going to be brutally honest, and we look at a lot of them, there was links to another 12-year-old from Brazil who might be amazing in this Estafrao, I think his name, Willian. Estafrao Willian. Great. It's another right winger. Mm. I've not seen that many right wingers since the Tory party conference. Like, honestly, we don't need it. It's ridiculous. So, you know, we'll have to see what happens with that. But a lot of the players that we've signed, you compare them to who's gone out the door, they're not better. They're either worse or maybe just as good as. I think the only one or two that you could probably have a conversation about, probably Gusto and Palmer. I don't think Badiashile's as good as or better than players that have gone out the door. I don't think De Zassi is. I don't think that Cucurella is. You know, I think we've had some fantastic players available that we're not using. And unfortunately, they're going to get sold for the sake of covering up people's mistakes. And I think if people just learn from their mistakes, I think the fan base would be actually more admirable for them to step up and go, look, we messed it up. This is what we're going to do to try and fix it. Because the other thing to look at with this is, if you sell these players, given the track record I've just mentioned, Tom, do you back the sporting directors to sign the quality to replace them?
No. No, I do not.
The end.
The end, yeah. No, nothing else needs to be said. No, I mean, look at the players they've signed. Like, yeah, I think Palmer, Gusto are the two who are ready-made first-team players. and obviously you can build a team around Palmer. Gusto's the one who's probably surprised us the most, and you know, now we're genuinely thinking, what the hell do we do with Reece James when he's back? And you know, you had Chidge last week talking about putting him in the midfield. There's talk, yeah, you could move into a three, Gusto at left back. Like, there's all these things now that you talk about, and that's because Gusto's been, I think, a lot better than we all thought he would be. But then the rest of them, like, you know, I've called Desassin, Badiashile, Dumb and Dumber all season. Badiashile now looks somewhat like a competent football player the last two games. Desassi doesn't still, to me. He's just, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just his giant frame. He just looks like he doesn't know what he's doing. Cucurella was really good yesterday. But need to see it now in the next four games. These next four games are big, in my opinion, for if the board have any kind of sense of what they're doing, which I think we've established they don't. But if they do, these four games are massive for these players. They should be like, this is your chance to prove yourself and why you want to be here next year, some of them. Obviously, you know, Palmer doesn't have to do that, and Gusto, if he's back fit, doesn't have to do that, and certain other players don't. But, you know, people like Desassi, like, prove yourself. Why should you be here over Trevor Chalobah, other than for financial reasons, which unfortunately probably will end up being the downfall anyway. But I don't know. I think that's the position I'd like to see it in, whether it happens or not. With Chelsea at the moment, you just don't know. We'll probably go into West Ham and play some terrible, just awful football and lose again. But that's life.
Yeah. But yeah, it is, and you just like to hope that they learn from it.
Mm.
But on top of all of this stuff, Jay, you are in the presence of some, as I mentioned, stat shagging. And you're in the presence of the king of stat shagging. And there's actually, I think, because it was such a big game, which everybody loved, Tom's actually shagged his stats a little bit too hard and has put a whole section here in
extra
about
stats.
The Tottenham game.
Extra
so do
stats,
you want to...
Yeah.
Tom, relax, all right? You don't need to bite your nails that much, mate. I'm not, just relax, bring it together, put yourself together.
I like stats.
All right. Just get on with it, please, and then we'll move on to the other housekeeping.
One's the one you asked me for last night. I didn't have time, but I did have a bit of time earlier.
Oh, okay.
So I looked it up.
Go on.
But so Poch is now the first manager to complete a Premier League double over Spurs, having previously managed them in the competition. So that's funny. Trevor Chalobah's first goal for Chelsea in 38 games since Norwich in March 2022. But bizarrely, three of Chalobah's four goals in the league have put Chelsea 1-0 up. So, you know, he's a clutch player. Nicola Jackson, 11th Premier League goal of the season. More than Drogba, obviously, with 10 in his first season. But, incredibly, it's also... Well, he's got four now this season against Spurs, which has only ever been bettered by one Chelsea player ever in the Premier League era, which is Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink in the 2001-02 season, who scored five. And, yeah, then the one you wanted to know yesterday, the replacements, or well, six of the nine replacements yesterday had yet to make a first-team appearance. Only Cesare Cassidy, is that how you say his name, the Italian boy?
Cesare Cassidy.
Yeah, him. Seven. He's played seven times. Marcus Bettinelli with one cup appearance. And David Washington with three appearances. So there were 10 appearances across the entire bench yesterday. And I guess congratulations to Jimmy Torianen and Josh Achiampong, who came on and made their Chelsea debuts. Pretty good day to do it. But yeah, that's a little extra segment. I thought, fuck it, it's Spurs. I'm going to do some more stats shagging. And there you have it.
I want to get you a hat for next season.
I want a t-shirt.
To wear. You want a t-shirt that says Stat Shagger?
Or on the back of a kit.
I'll wear it to Glastonbury. Actually, that might be really...
Oh, no, absolutely. Now you said you don't want to do it, I am going to make you do it. So it's going to happen. I will make sure, if Jack's there, I will make sure that you are not allowed to take it off. I don't care. Wear it in the shower, whatever. Like, you're not taking myself. That shirt off. The whole of Glastonbury, you're having Stat Shagger on you. That's going to happen, mate.
People can look out for me. I should do it with a barcode, a QR code on it. People can go, oh, what's this?
A QR code, follow the echo. Yeah, it's the quality. I love that. Jay, I mean, you're a big kit guy. So, I mean, if we were to make that kit right now, what sort of colours are we looking at? Do you go for Chelsea blue, or do we make it like really like bright yellow so everyone sees Tom in the shirt? Like, how would you design that?
This is a very important question. I think you definitely want a bright colour to make it stand out. You want people to know. So definitely, maybe we'll go for like a bright orange Chelsea away kit, you know, like the 90s. Maybe we'll go for something like that.
I like that. So I'm going to invest in classic football shirts on a shirt that's probably going to cost me about 200 quid and butcher it with stat sugar on the back. I'm investing in you, Tom, so you have to wear it.
I'll wear it.
Every game.
This is recorded. So are you actually going to wear it, or are you going to wear it like you keep saying you're going to make the playlist and you don't do it?
Am I actually going to wear the Stat Shaggers shirt?
Yeah, because you keep saying you're going to make the playlist and you haven't done that yet either. So
it's in the works. Yeah, I mean, if you give me a shirt, I'm going to wear it. I'm not just going to sort of put it aside and wait 3 weeks to wear it like I'm doing with this playlist, which is we're getting there slowly. Yeah, I'll wear the shirt if I have one. Why not?
Yeah. Okay. Well, speaking of the playlist, we should probably get into it. Jay, we do a segment called Forgotten Banger every week because apparently we're making a playlist. It's not happened yet, but apparently it's happening. And we have to field songs that we think if you were to put it in the playlist and you were to hear that when you're out, maybe in a cheese room somewhere, just absolutely loving life, you'd be like, I've not heard this song in years, and just vibing. You had to pick a song. So last week we had Chidge try and judge mine and Tom's. But I think, Tom, we should insert the guest appearances into the situation.
Absolutely.
And see if they can bring something to the table.
We've got a special shout out this week as well.
Oh, have we?
Who let us know one? Yeah. Yeah, we have.
Oh, go on. What's the shout out that's going to go in the
place? Start with a shout out so no one can take it. Yeah, go on. I don't think anyone would have taken this anyway. It is a banger, but I don't know if it's the vibe that we would go for on this particular day of recording. It's Linger by the Cranberries, which is definitely a tune. I think I could see that in a cheese room early doors.
Mm. Yeah, early doors when no one's there.
It depends what crowd you're in. If you're in a crowd of Irish people, that's going to pop off, which tend to be the most fun, So
yeah, it's true. So are you saying it's going to be in the Swan? Is that where we're going to host the Chelsea Echo parties?
I prefer not
to. Your face, I was like, oh, yes, please.
I haven't been there in a while, and I'm fighting the urge to go there tonight because I'm going.
I've never been, so do you want to go to the Swan tonight? I think we should.
I can't. I've got stuff on tomorrow. I'm meeting some mates at Clapham. I can't not function tomorrow.
You're so boring. This is what I'm saying to you, Jay. He's too sensible. He doesn't do anything. He literally, I functioned on 2 hours sleep after like a 4 day bender, and he just sits there going, "Oh, I've got to do my tax return." Like, come on, mate. Like,
I do actually need to do that by the end of July.
You've just reminded him. Good lad.
Thank you.
Oh dear. Anyway, the rough idea, Jay, of Forgotten Banger is again, like I said, something that you think you haven't heard for ages, and you're like, if that came on, I'd absolutely love it, right? And it does have to be forgotten. So there are certain songs which might be really old, but you hear them a lot, so they don't fit. It has to be something where you come on, you're like, yes. And I've got mine locked and loaded because I listened to it in the gym earlier. I was doing some pad work to it and, shaking my hips, loving it, having a great time.
Nice.
Putting people off. But go on, Tom, you said you had two pre-record, and I'm actually intrigued.
Yeah, well, I've got two, and if the first one makes it through, then I'll leave the second one for next week. I've only got two because I feel like the first one might be deemed to be too sad. But yeah, so it is How to Save a Life by The Fray.
Too sad. I know you need to do your tax return, but are you dropping a toaster in the bath after this as well?
No, I love life, mate. This is a tax return's exciting. That's not true. No, I've been told by people before that song is too sad and I should get it off the playlist.
Now, if you've watched Scrubs, you know that's a sad song. You know that hits deep in that moment.
Well, maybe that's why I haven't and people have.
Yeah,
but I think it's a banger, and I'd have that in my cheese room, which is realistically where I would be all night. So, yeah. It's made it in. Clearly, that has made it in. I don't have to worry about myself.
No, it hasn't. What was your other option? Please give me something better.
Fuck's sake. Such a tune, though.
It's a tune, but it's not a bop.
It's true.
Fine, Manny to Nelly Furtado.
Now you're talking.
Okay, I'm keen on that. I like it. I was listening to it earlier. It's pretty good. It's a good shout. I'm keen. All right. You can have. We'll put them both in because I'm pretty sure if Linger's going to be on as well.
We go ups and downs.
It's going to be like, oh my God, what a tune, and Linger's going to come on. We've got to have some depressing songs in there. I'll put some Christina Perry in next week. Anyway.
Bit James Blunt.
James Blunt.
After the season Chelsea fans have had, it might be a bit more fitting.
Yeah. You could do it. I could put the songs in order of how we're feeling after each week.
Yeah. I like that.
Jay, you've got a rough idea.
Yeah.
Go on. If you could pick a song, what would you whack in there?
I've got a go-to karaoke song that I think would be perfect for this. And I actually posted about it the other day on Twitter because it's Robbie Williams, rock DJ. It's a tune. Anytime it comes on, it lifts a room, but it doesn't come on enough. And to link it to Chelsea, the album cover is at Stamford Bridge, which I didn't even realise until the other week where I had the song on. So yeah, that has to be in there.
That's a great shout.
Thank you.
I'm keen on that. I whacked in a bit of Robbie a few weeks ago. That is, yeah, I'm keen on that. I've gone for a little bit of a different flavour. And I was moving my hips. No, it was a bit of Latin loving, right? I went for Feel Good by Santana. I was all over that. And I was just like, yeah, baby, I love it. It looks great. And then just like some other bloke at the other corner of the gym hitting a speed bag going, what the fuck is going on? Just like, it is what it is, mate. Nothing, not my problem. Don't have to play out the game. Play chess, not checkers. That's what I'm doing. But I'm key with that. I mean, How to Save a Life by The Fray was a curve.
What a
but,
tune, you know, though. That's just the sign of the music that I would choose to listen to. I've been told before when I've listened to music, people are like, you're right. I'm like, yeah, I just like sad songs. It's just who I am.
They just hit deeper, innit?
Yeah, I don't know. I like all the time to listen to music that I would scream in the shower.
To be fair, yeah, I can see it. With the water hitting down and you screaming How to Save a Life. I see it. I can see
and
it.
Everyone else is like, you're right. Someone break up with you, and I'm like, nah.
Best shower of my life.
Yeah, it's Friday. I'm loving life. It's life's good.
Just imagining Tom. Do you remember that? Was it George Sampson on the first season of Britain's Got Talent?
Yeah. Singing in the rain.
Just Tom to how about How to Save a Life? Just getting really emotional in the shower. I think it can make it in just for the sake of the plot. This is one of those situations where you go, fuck it, we'll do it for the plot. So How to Save a Life can go in, but obviously we'll stick Maneater in as the safety net. But that is our first bit of housekeeping. That's the longest it's gone on for a little while. I was happy with that chat, which wasn't Chelsea related. We love that sort of stuff here. But we'll move on now. And Jay, we do something else called Tom's Big Question, which is always a little bit odd. And we like that here. So what have you got for us this week, Tom, after the Thomas the Tank Engine induced coma you put me into last week?
That was 2 weeks ago. I'll have you know.
Yeah, we talked about it again with Chidge though, didn't we?
We did. And before that, it was Werther's Originals, which was, I think that was my favourite one so far. Yeah, the origin of the world is original. What a question. Anyway, right, West Ham. So I'm going to ask you, it's a pretty short question actually this week. And it's a mix, I would say, of football and just randomness. Why not? So West Ham Stadium, obviously the London Stadium, was rebuilt for football in 2016, which makes it the third newest stadium in the Premier League behind only Spurs and Brentford. Where does Stamford Bridge rank? And when was it built?
Stamford Bridge built in 1887.
Jay, any other guess? I'm not confirming or denying whether that was correct.
I'll go.
It's a curveball.
Yeah, I'll go 1895 just to stay close in the ballpark.
And where does it rank in Premier League stadiums?
It must be the oldest, or like.
I say
because everyone else is quite new stadiums.
Yeah. Well, Louis's closer in terms of the year.
Okay.
Jay's right in terms of its ordering. 1877.
Nice.
It's the second oldest stadium in the Premier League.
Hang on. How close was I there then?
You're 10 years out. You're 10 years out. Which, yeah, very, very impressive guess. I would not have thought that at all.
What can I say?
But can you guess who's got the oldest stadium for one final Goodison. Bonus question? No, not Goodison.
Really? Okay.
I was thinking Liverpool.
No, they were 1884. Goodison, 1892.
Oof.
There's one stadium here, which is 1855. It was built.
Oh, hang on. Is it Crystal Palace?
Nope.
Oh, I was really confident then as well.
Hang on. No, it's not.
Oh, mate, this is doing me here. Eh?
Well, there are only 20 teams in the Premier League, so you can just rattle them off if you want. But
well, I mean, Emirates 2008, that's Arsenal. Is it Villa Park?
Nope.
Oh, for is fuck's sake.
Nope.
Can we have like a clue? Can you give us like a geographical area?
If I give
area?
You a geographical area north, I can give you a really obvious clue.
Sheffield?
Yeah, I was just going to say a really obvious clue. That's shit. Yeah, Bramall Lane, 1855.
Oldest ground. I think I should.
So they're last in the table of everything. Congrats to Sheffield United.
Big up Sheffield. Yeah,
that's my big question of the week. Random question. Bit of history of stadiums.
Nice. Love that. Well, that was a good one.
Yeah, love that.
I mean, Werther's original and Thomas the Tank Engine are still my favourite ones. Just because they're just so out there.
Do you know what? I told someone that was my fun fact, and I've never had a more disapproving look in my life.
That must have been a really, really bad first date then.
I don't go on dates. I just sing in the shower. Life's good.
Sings in the shower to the fray. Well, look, we'll move on. As we've done our housekeeping, it's now time for the only part of the show which has a jingle. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Stat Shaggers.
The Chelsea Echo presents Stat Shaggers.
Yeah, giving Jay a real treat here with a second helping of Stat Shaggers, the main course, if you like, out of West Ham this weekend. And, well, it didn't go very well last time, but we're going to go a little bit further back to the first clash of 1923, which for some reason every single one of the first clashes between Chelsea and any other team seems to be a 0-0 draw. This one was no different. October 1923, 0-0. Since then, in just over 100 years of action, there have been 121 matches. Chelsea have just about edged it, winning 54. There have been 23 draws and West Ham have won 44. But we don't actually really care about the 1920s that much because it doesn't really have much bearing on now, really. Not many players kicking around from back then. So we'll look at more recent data and kind of what's happened in the last 10 games. And that is also just about Chelsea's 5 wins, 5 West Ham wins and 1 draw. That obviously includes the 3-1 loss at the London Stadium in August. Carney Chukwuemeka's well-taken goal, sadly, quickly overshadowed by him getting injured and also West Ham scoring 3 goals of their own. It didn't really mean much, that goal, in the end. But it was a nice goal. Anyway, looking specifically at matches at Stamford Bridge between these two sides in the Premier League, it paints a pretty similar picture as Tottenham. Chelsea have been dominant at home. They've won 6, drawn 3. West Ham only won 1, which was in November 2019. The famous game where that goalkeeper, I think he's called Dean Martin, the ginger goalkeeper, cried because it was his West Ham debut and he kept a clean sheet. And I'm pretty sure he never played for them again. But anyway, that's what I just remember from that game. That was West Ham's first win at the Bridge in 15 attempts and also their first since 2002. So, yeah, they haven't won since and they'd only won twice. Well, once since 2002. So, yeah, we've got a pretty good record against West Ham at Stamford Bridge. Into the manager, Maurizio Pochettino. West Ham will become his joint third most played team in his managerial career, which will be the 17th time playing them on Sunday, only behind Liverpool and Manchester City. His record against the Hammers is okay, I guess. Fine, you could say. Nothing spectacular, but not bad either. 6 wins, 6 losses, 4 draws in 16 clashes. Weirdly, only 2 of those wins actually came at home, and obviously all 6 of them came with Spurs, didn't win with Southampton, and didn't win his first and only game so far with Chelsea. Overall, 23 goals for, 22 against, with a points per match of 1.38, because I went a little bit further this week. That does include cup games, but I included them as league games for the sake of the stat. West Ham's recent form. Well, defeat to the high-flying Bayer Leverkusen, who are the team I'm really following now, to be honest, saw an end to their Europa League run and back-to-back European triumphs. But their recent losses to Crystal Palace and to Fulham have kind of seen them running out of fallout of the running of European football for next year too. They did only lose 3-0 to Leverkusen, which is, of course, no poor showing, but in their last 5 Premier League games, they've actually only won once. That win came against Wolves at Molineux, but those losses to Fulham, 2-0, Palace, 5-2, and then the credible draws against Spurs and Liverpool, 1-1 and 2-2 respectively, which didn't really help them stay in the hunt, to be honest. And now they kind of appear to have fallen out of the Europa League or Conference League spots, with Chelsea, Newcastle and Manchester United leaving them behind. Hopefully, Chelsea can take that sixth spot this weekend. It's back to you in the studio.
Thanks, Tomas. As per, fantastic with your statistical analysis. I mean, Jay, did you listen to any of that? Because I kind of just, at this point, I just tune it out.
I did see your eyes glaze over. No, I listened, mate. I'm a good guest. I listened. It's interesting to hear all the build up to it. And unfortunately, the first thing that comes into my head is, oh, so they'll probably beat us and end that run.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I was literally sitting there going, we've done so well over the past two games, we're going to lose on Sunday. How exciting! I can't wait! But I mean, it'd be interesting to see. I mean, look, with them falling out the European places, it's going to be interesting to see how they face up to this game, because every West Ham fan I speak to is just so sick of David Moyes. They literally sit there and they go, which one's gone? That's it. I've had enough. And it's like, well, why? I don't understand it. He's got some decent positions. And then, you know, it's just a case of, well, how far off have they fallen? And, you know, everyone else above them, game in hand. West Ham currently sit 2 points behind Chelsea. If we beat them, we will be 5 points clear. And potentially, well, he won't be sat in sixth, because even if it's a draw, he won't be. It's physically impossible for us to be sat in sixth at the end of the weekend. Unless we score, well, no, it's physically impossible. We can go to seventh, though, so there is that, which is always a nice little bonus. But with that being said, look, Chelsea chasing European football, we actually seem to be in the driving seat, because one of the stats I did hear is for 2024, Chelsea are currently sat in fourth, which is, given how we started the year, a 5-0 loss to Arsenal, some really shocking results happening.
Drop points against Sheffield United, Burnley, Brentford.
Yeah, exactly. It's interesting to hear, isn't it? And I mean, Jay, are you confident that Chelsea can get European football? How do you feel about it all?
Definitely not confident, just because of the season so far. But it appears to be strangely doable. You know, you're looking at our remaining fixtures. We've got West Ham. We've got, who else have we got?
Forest, Brighton, Bournemouth. Yeah.
It's like all winnable games. So, you know, and you're looking above us, United and Newcastle have to play each other, got some difficult fixtures of their own to look forward to. All of a sudden, it's looking very doable to get that Europa spot. And it gives us something to fight for. And I think throughout the season, the only time we've ever really looked good is when we're trying to fight for something. So hopefully, you know, there's creep, a little bit of optimism coming in, but yeah, confident, no, but I think there is something there to push for, and I'd absolutely love getting Europa next season. I think it'd be great for this squad.
Yeah, I agree. I think it'd be unreal. Me and Tom have already said if we end up in like Lithuania or something, he's going to get a tattoo on his arse of something to do with the fixture.
Yeah,
which I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, buzzing.
I was really hoping you'd forgotten about that.
Tom, I forget important things. Okay, that's the difference between you and me. You do your tax return, I remember tattoos on arses. But speaking of things that are important, which I actually forgot to do, on the script, we're actually supposed to do the Echo 11 first, and we didn't do that.
people waiting.
Let's get straight into it. The Chelsea Echo 11 for the game against West Ham. Now, Jay, the beauty of the Echo 11 is we don't have to do what Pochettino does. We can play a back five. We can play five up front. We can play a one-man midfield, which you probably could do with Conor Gallagher. But, you know, aside from that, we kind of like to keep it semi-focused. So, Jay, if you want to take point, mate, if you were taking control of the team, you know, and picking the 11 for Sunday, who would be your back line?
Great question. I think Chalobah obviously has to play. I think Badiashile has, like you guys said earlier, has been a bit better recently. I think you give him a shout. Kukurea had a great game against Spurs, so maybe you trust him. The only person that might have to drop out is Gilchrist. He he's just not a right back, is he? I love the kid. I really love him, but he's not a right back. So maybe even if you put Chalobah on the right and you bring someone else in, it's just I'm thinking about bloody injuries. We've got
he's
everyone
available.
Because I don't who else
Colwell?
Is actually available?
Is Colwell back now?
Colwell should be available for the fixture, they're saying.
Okay, so I reckon yeah,
Kunku might be about.
You put Colwell in at centre back, and maybe you move Chalobah to right back. Just because I think Gilchrist, it's great having him in and around the squad, but and like coming on, but starting as a right back, I think you saw him struggle against Spurs. So that'd be my back line, I reckon.
That works because then on the ball, it's kind of been a three recently because Cucurella's just become this weird inverted little Pep thing in the midfield, and then you can have those three centre backs there. And then I think Chalobah's capable of playing right back. West Ham have Kudus; he's kind of their only real pacey player, and he doesn't tend to play on the left. So I don't think that'd be a problem for Chalobah. So I quite like that.
Yeah, I think that works.
It'd be interesting to see. You should have seen, for the listeners, you should have seen Tom's face when Cucurella was mentioned, because he goes like this weird colour. Because he just
so much humble pie.
I like the way, man. You don't want to give him credit for playing well against Spurs. It's just this weird little Pep thing. It's it's so visceral.
I get it, mate. I do get it.
It was great.
He was great against Spurs, but as a whole, he's one of those annoying players, isn't he?
Yeah, I'm still the jury's very much out for me on that one. But yeah, he did play well. Credit where credit's due. That performance alone was worth $62 million.
And also just injuries as well, isn't it? That's the problem
you
got.
Yeah. There's not an awful lot of option. I mean, if Colwell and Nkunku are back, then that takes us up to 12 first team players, so that's good.
I mean, I think he's been a very capable deputy. And I think he's been fantastic over the past few games.
I agree.
I think you're both being quite harsh.
No, I agree. Sorry, recently, what? He has been good. But for
long
the whole
season.
Of last season and the start of this season, I was not happy with him. But recently, he's played well. He played very well against Spurs. He was not far off man of the match. So, yes, I like that back four. I do like that. Yes, I said that, Louis. Get used
what?
To it.
What?
I may be boring, but I also speak the truth.
Well, that's the back line for the Chelsea Echo, and I'm sure you guys will probably agree with that. The midfield, I don't think you can do much about that, to be honest. Do we just say the same midfield and just move on, or do we risk Nkunku coming into our number 10 position, or how do you feel about it?
No, I think you leave it. I think if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Gallagher, Caicedo look amazing together. Every time they play together with no Enzo, which is a problem for next season, they look amazing. Caicedo's just suddenly got a new lease of life. He looks brilliant, confident, happy. You know, he's winning the ball. He wins that ball so much. He's just he's just dominating the midfield and letting Gallagher do what he's good at. And that's why, you know, the last two games have gone out the way they are. And then obviously, you know, Palmer is Palmer. He can play wherever he wants, as far as I'm concerned. But at the moment, he's playing in the middle, which I like him there because he's very effective. And you know that free kick, that was really unlucky. But yeah, he's Palmer. So yeah, leave that midfield.
I feel that Palmer's wasted in the middle. I don't think he gets on the ball as much. I think when he's out wide and he's able to take people on and have that little bit more space, I think you see a much more positive Palmer. And I agree that the midfield should probably stay the same. I don't think that you make the risk with players like Nkunku, who, you know, if he stubs his toe on a really well protected corner with like lots of pillows and everything, he'll still rule himself out for 6 months. So, you know, we'll have to see what happens with that. And if he does play, if he can stay fit.
Didn't Palmer play in the 10 against Everton when he scored 4? Because Madueke and Mudryk both played. And so did Jackson. So, just playing devil's advocate, I reckon he's good enough to play wherever.
Yeah, but I mean, I could play number 10 against Everton. Do you know what I mean? Have you seen me play football, mate?
They've kept clean sheets recently, mate. They've been unreal. They just couldn't hack it at the bridge.
They call me Cesc Fabregas, mate. That's what they said about me.
No, you call yourself that. There's a difference.
Actually, no. I was actually called it by expressions and it stuck. So, after that. It was either that or Paul Blart. There was no in between. So, you know, I kind of just went with it.
Yeah, you take Cesc over that, don't you?
Oh, yeah. It's managerial pedigree as well at Como. I'm absolutely smashing it. Yeah, no, okay, that's fair enough. I'm just going to ignore that really, really important point and just say that's the midfield. Should we do the front line? Does it stay the same again? Are we basically just going to name the same team?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Well, the only other player you could bring in is Nkunku. But I think he's someone we've got to watch because I want him fit for next year. So just we've got 4 games left. Ease him in. If he's finally fit to start one of the back, you know, last 3 games, fine. But if not, off the bench, get used to the league at the next season.
Sounds good to me. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is the Echo 11 for Chelsea versus West Ham on Sunday. But having said all that, we've already talked about 4 games left, the chance of Europe, is it going to happen? Tom's obviously mentioned Mohamed Kudus as being a very, very key player for West Ham. Is there anything else, Tom, statistically, that we should worry about?
No. No, not really. I mean, earlier on in the season, you obviously had Jared Bowen in great form. That's fallen off a bit now. Defensively, I don't know if you watched them against Palace. They were absolutely awful. You know, leaking goals for fun against the Palace team who before that hadn't really... They scored 5-5, I think, and then they scored 5 in one game. So they're not a great team at the moment. They're, as you say, you know, the fans are fed up with David Moyes. I kind of get the impression the players are a bit fed up with David Moyes. They're ninth. They're not playing for anything anymore. They're not going to get Europe, so they're just kind of chilling. And I always think when you've got teams that aren't playing for anything, that can make them either more dangerous because they can just be laid back and just attack, or it can make them, you know, you score a goal and then suddenly you're 5-0 up because they're not paying attention. And that is why I think Forest away is going to be our hardest game, because they're the only team we're playing now who have something to play for. Brighton and Bournemouth do not. Bournemouth are a good team. But I think we've got enough. Brighton are just absolutely awful. Any De Zerbi shouts for Chelsea manager, please no. But no.
Oh, no, he's such a good manager. He'd be on the same points as Sean Dyche if they had another points deduction. And, you know, the football he plays is so majestic, though.
Yeah, he's won 6 games in 28. Get him in. Get him into my job. No, he's crap. And I don't like his hair. So take that, Roberto. But no.
He's just hiring the fact he's got nothing on his crown, mate. Don't worry about it.
Long story short, no. I've given you enough stats for one episode. West Ham are where they are. They think they're massive. That's their chant, isn't it? They're massive wherever they go. Well, you're ninth, lads. And yeah, up the shelves.
I mean, look, it's going to be exciting to see this game, I think, because I have the exact same thought process for a very different reason, because I think they are just going to go for us because they love playing us. It's always a hard game for us. It's always a struggle when you face West Ham, and I always do think about that Sam Allardyce interview. You know, he can't take it. It's just sort of, he just does my head in, but that remains to be seen. But speaking of it being difficult, Chelsea actually are now unbeaten at home since February, and it seems that Stamford Bridge could be a little bit of a fortress again. Jay, do you feel that maybe, just maybe, next season it could be a very difficult place to go for any team?
Definitely think that the atmosphere at the Bridge seems to be getting better, which definitely has an effect on this young team. I think, you know, against Spurs, it's going to be rowdy, but I think you're seeing this a bit of a shift, and you're seeing Poch starting to connect with the fans a little bit more at home. And I think it is starting to create a good atmosphere there that teams will worry about. And, you know, if you talk about West Ham specifically, another London rival off the back of Tottenham, it's going to be loud in there, and I think that will have an effect. The squad we've got at the minute is young, it is impressionable. That will help them. So I do think, yeah, we could see the Bridge become a fortress once again, because it hasn't been for a little while now. So I do think, yeah, something's definitely turning there. And I think if we use last game to affect this game, the snowball effect hopefully comes into play.
Well, speaking of that snowball effect, gentlemen, I'm going to table it with you. As there are only 4 games left of this season, Chelsea obviously playing West Ham first. We're then facing up against Nottingham Forest away, Brighton away, Bournemouth at home is the final game of the season. And it is fair to say for the people that are around us, and in comparison to them, we probably do have a more favourable run of fixtures. So, Tom, I'm going to come to you first. How many points are Chelsea picking up from the last 4 games?
It's a real head over heart. because heart says 12 straight away, but head's like we're gonna muck up against someone. I don't know if we lose one of those though. I'm gonna say 10 points. I reckon we draw one of them. I think maybe Forest away will be a tough game, but I think we can beat the other three. So I'm gonna be optimistic. Say 10.
Okay, interesting. Jay, what are you saying?
I'm being optimistic. I definitely think we're gonna get. I think we will lose one. I think there's a slip up there, ready for us to do something. So I'll go with 9 points.
Okay. So who are we losing to?
Probably Nottingham. Like you say, they're fighting for something. They've got something to fight for. They're at their ground as well, which is it's a good ground. The fans will be up for it. I think yeah, we'll probably lose to them.
Hudson-Odoi goal all over it.
Oh, of course, yeah. That'll be the way. And then we get the two wins to round off the season and just about scrape it into Europe.
Yeah, I mean, look, for me, beginning of the season, when we did the pilot for the Chelsea Echo, we are now over 100 episodes in, if you include all the voice note reviews and the fantastic spaces with the score. I did say that we will probably scrape 7th or 8th, and I'd be happy with that because there'd be a consistent improvement, and there has been. I think, gentlemen, we're going to pick up maximum points.
Ooh.
I really do, and you know what, I'm going with my heart here. I hope with every single bone in my body, every single atom of my being, that we absolutely tonk Brighton, because I can't stand them. They do my head in. You ready to see a lion get mauled by a seagull? Well, how about you lot go and get your chips on the beach? Have that. Have it. I can't.
It's got to be one of the longest nibbles ever, like a 9-month nibble.
Oh, mate, I'm sorry. If you have some geezer in a Carhartt jumper that's too big for him and a bucket hat covering his eyes, go, yo, Louis, are you ready to see a seagull maul a lion? And that just pretty much epitomises the entirety of that fan base at the beginning of this season and all of this year, who would keep going after Cucurella or whoever, who's left to go to pastures new. Because, let's be honest, our club is bigger than yours, and I really shouldn't be doing this, but I really like annoying people who think they're bigger than you and try and rub it in your face. Because guess what? You're a little club from Sussex. You're not even the biggest one in Sussex, all right? Big up Lewis FC, because they're unbelievable and know exactly what they're doing. I'm a Kent boy as well, though, so I just automatically hate Sussex as well. But fuck you. I hope we spank you, and that is what I look forward to the most. Have it. I got it out. Okay.
Yep, only two episodes early. Yep, it's all right.
No, it'll be even worse around
yep.
then.
Deep breaths. Yep.
Yeah, I need to just retain some form of professionalism. Just give me a moment. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that has been the Chelsea Echo. I hope you have enjoyed this episode with the wonderful Jay Tomlins. Jay, where can people find you?
Thanks.
That don't own a Brighton kit.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me on, boys. It's been a pleasure. I'm happy that I've been brought on after a win, because at any point in the season, it could have been a much sadder time. But thank you nonetheless. Yeah, Jay Tomlins FC on pretty much every social media, but YouTube mostly.
Banging. I look forward to it. If you guys want to see some cool stuff, Jay does do some absolutely amazing kit videos. He done some ground hopping videos as well, which I've really enjoyed.
Thanks, mate.
And to be honest, lads, he's just a fantastic content creator who deserves far more audience than we can give him. So I know there's at least three people listening. So if three of you could, you know, just go across and hop in the comments and just say something about seagulls being mauled by lions. And then, you know, I'm pretty sure I'll be happy. Tom, where can people find you for more stat shagging?
At TomMasters11 on Twitter. I post stats there sometimes. I take the piss out of Liverpool a lot. And yeah. A little Thiago Silva tweet that a few people liked the other day, which I enjoyed people liking it.
Yeah. How many like followers are you on now? Because we need to get you up, don't we?
Not
really?
Enough. It's growing, yeah. But slowly.
Jay, if you could give us a hand, Jay, right? We were saying that we want to get Tom up to 250 followers by the end of the season. Because he is going to be the designated stat shagger for the entirety of Chelsea Twitter. Mm. I think is kind of what we're aiming for him to be. Mm. Just lots of numbers and... No, spreadsheets. He loves a spreadsheet.
I
honestly,
do.
We did a series.
Making me sound like a really fun guy with that. But yeah, I do.
But yeah, it is what it is. But anyway, guys, you can find me obviously at Louis_Beneventi on Twitter and just at Louis Beneventi on other socials. I will say, if you don't know how to spell it, I'm not going to say how I do it because Tom always takes the piss out of how I do it. So I won't be doing it. It's L-O-U-I-S, Ben as in Bill and Ben, Eve as in Adam and Eve, November Tango Indigo. Yeah,
I'm not going to do it. Yeah. Proceeds to do it in the most obnoxious way possible.
Instantly as well. There wasn't a breath before, I'm not going to do it. And then the...
me? Obnoxious? No way. Really?
Come on, mate.
Never.
Let's wrap this up and you can go and punch some Brighton memorabilia.
Yeah, that's because I've got to put my stony on and do exactly that. But anyway, guys, this has been the Chelsea Echo and it has been a Sideline production. If you've enjoyed all of this content, please do make sure that you head across to ChelseaSideline.club to get all of your best Chelsea content. Some fantastic articles. We have the blueprint. We have so many other bits and bobs all over there as well. As Pub Talk, where this week we spoke about the top five Mourinho signings from his first stint. Sign up, and by the way, you get put in the raffle to win a signed John Terry shirt. So head across straight after this. Make sure you check out Jay. Make sure you check out all of our socials as well. Tell your nan, tell your dog, and tell a Brighton fan to go fuck themselves. Take care of yourselves, guys, and we'll see you later. Couldn't help it.